You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, November the 12th. Hey, y'all, nothing really happened this weekend. Pretty sure you guys were bored. Nah. That was a bad lie, right? Well, look, I must say that this weekend was probably one of the biggest weekends for the Sixers since the process began. By now, you all know that they acquired the third star in Jimmy Butler. What we're going to do today is, in the first segment, we're going to talk about that trade. We're going to talk about how it benefits the 76ers. We're going to talk about, you know, all the things that they, you know, where they're projected at now, and the fact that they have a third star to go with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. In the second segment, I want to talk about, you know, Brett Brown. Like, you know, what does it do for the head coach and Brett Brown? And, you know, now as far as expectations, you know, he can no longer say that, hey, I got a young team. Be patient. And thirdly, I want to just talk about, you know, the Sixers in the third segment. Can the Sixers keep Jimmy Butler? You know, what's going to have to happen? So, you know, we have a lot to talk about today. But first, before we do that, I want to let you guys know that, hey, this is, you know, Locked On Sixers. We're the only podcast that comes to you 5 days a week. You know, I pride myself on trying to keep it real, giving you whatever you need, whatever you want, all that. All right. But listen, enough about me and enough about my self-promotion, which I'm really not comfortable doing. But anyway, now it's time. Let's talk about this trade. Okay. So the Jimmy Butler trade will basically become official today. That's when the teams are going to participate in a trade call. But for people who are not up to date with it, what happened is on Saturday, the 76ers acquired Jimmy Butler and Justin Patton in exchange for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless, and a 2022 second round pick. Now, the good thing about this trade is you have to commend the Sixers ownership because, you know, basically the owners had a lot to do with this deal. Like, they were basically the ones who were in the trade negotiations. And then, you know, of course, the GMs had something to do with it, but it was really the ownerships. And the 76ers owners realized in order for them to get a third star, to secure a third star, at least have a great chance of getting them, keeping them long term, is that, hey, it's best for us to make this deal, bring in Jimmy Butler, and basically we can offer him more money for him to stay with, you know, for long-term max deal. So that's what they did. Now, you have to give them credit because they made a splash. You have to give them credit because they said that they weren't going to settle for nothing other than a star. They said that last year. Brett Brown came out and said, we're going star hunting. They weren't able to do it, right? Now, you know, they lost out on the LeBron James free agent sweepstakes. They lost out on the Paul George. They were unable to trade for Kawhi Leonard. Now, right now, you know, Jimmy Butler may not be a first teamer like LeBron. He may not be a first teamer like Kawhi, like when Kawhi, you know, he was hurt last year. But Jimmy Butler is a great compliment to Embiid. You look at it. Right now, the Sixers always talked about how they needed a guy who could be able to create his own shot. Right? They have that. I mean, there were a lot of guys who were athletic. There were a lot of wings who could, you know, who the Sixers had in the past who kind of sort of they wanted to fit like a Jimmy Butler type of mold, you know, a rugged guy, you know, in your face, a guy who you can just spread the floor and go to work. But they weren't exactly close to being him. They were projects for the most part. Or guys who were basically battling injuries. You know, guys at the end of their contracts. So now they are able to get a guy like Jimmy Butler. And what this does is it propels the Sixers. Now, a lot of people are saying right now that the 76ers just became, you know, one of the favorites to go to the NBA Finals, one of the favorites to come out to the East. You know, right now, I'm reserving my opinion. Now, again, that's not a knock against Jimmy Butler. It's not a knock against the Sixers. I think they are going to be a quality and a great ball club. However, we honestly have to see how this works out. We have to see if the chemistry is going to be okay. We have to see a lot of things. Now, again, he did take Minnesota to the playoffs last year. His addition did take Minnesota to the playoffs. I just want to see. Now, I know they're going to be one of the top teams in the East, but I just got to have to see how they play a couple games before you could come out and say, you know what? They're better than Toronto, which is number one. You know what? They'll smash Milwaukee, who's number two. You understand what I'm saying? So before you come out and anoint them, we just have to see how it's going to work. Like, we need to see who's going to take the final shot. You know, how many touches is Embiid going to get? Is his scoring average going to go down? Hey, maybe this is going to open up a lot more looks for J.J. Redick. You know, these are questions that we assume certain things, but we actually won't know until it happens. But I will say this, that though the Sixers have become a better team, the only question mark that I have right now is, you know, you look at Dario and you look at Cove. Now, Cove, I get it. If you were getting Jimmy Butler, Cove had to go. And there's nothing against Cove, but if I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm not making this deal unless Robert Covington is included. Now, my main question is in regards to the Sixers lineup now, who plays the four? I mean, who does? You know, like two nights ago, in their loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, they threw a lineup out there with Landry Shamet, J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, and Joel Embiid. Now, it looked to me that, you know, even though Ben's listed as the point guard and he's a primary ball handler, when you have a lineup like that, J.J. Redick isn't the point guard. J.J. Redick isn't the power forward. Landry Shamet is not the power forward. Markelle Fultz is not the power forward. So even though that Ben Simmons was the primary ball handler, it looked to me that he was playing a lot of point forward. I mean, because let's face it, they're not going to put those guys in that situation. So will the Sixers take Shamet out the lineup and insert Jimmy Butler now? Or will they, you know, and what that does is that makes Ben Simmons technically your point forward. Or will they, once Mike Muscala is back and healthy again, do they insert him? Or do they go with Wilson Chandler? So there's a lot of questions that, you know, that need to be, you know, answered and things that we'll find out. But again, you know, you finally have a guy who can score. I mean, let's think about it. Last year, people wanted, and I still think that he could be a solid addition in free agency, you know, as a reserve, but people wanted Tyreke Evans. Why? Because when they needed to get buckets, that's a guy who could get buckets for him. Well, Jimmy Butler's here. He can get buckets. And no offense to my man Tyreke, but Jimmy Butler's a way better defender, and that's what the 76ers need. But hey, now it's time to pay for some advertising, get these advertising going. You know, got to pay some bills. So here we go. I'll be back to you guys in a little bit. Hey, you guys. You know, I just want to apologize if there was a little break or air, like seconds going without me talking. I'm trying to do a pretty good job with this, with the ads things, but I've been having some technical difficulties with it. But hey, I just want to say this. Now, for some of you, you know, some people, if you want to make some advertising on this podcast, this is a great place to be. And the reason why, like, you know, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, you know, in regards to, you know, advertising to them, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Sixers is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at kepompey@yahoo.com. And, you know, you can find out a little bit more about that. But, hey, as I alluded to or teased in the first segment, you know, I believe that this is not a tough situation for Brett Brown. But I think that is a different situation for Brett Brown than what was in before. You know, whenever the Sixers lost before, whenever things went wrong, or whenever they committed a lot of turnovers, it was always, he could always go with, hey, I don't have, I need help in regards to people on the roster upgrades. Or he could say, look, I have a young team. These guys are young. You can't say that anymore. I mean, Jimmy Butler's 29 years old. You know, Jimmy Butler's a four-time All-Star. He's a full-time, you know, all-defensive player. You can't say that. You know, and it's kind of like now you're going to have to grade stuff differently. Now, again, you know, Brett Brown gets a lot of criticism. When Brett Brown wins, it's always because he has great players. When the Sixers lose, it's because people say Brett Brown lost the game for him. And to me, I get it. I get sometimes people look at some of the rotations and they look at other things and they come out as an armchair quarterback and they say the guy has to go. But I always looked at it as if, like, some of these guys did make some rookie mistakes or, yeah, he's going with these lineups because he's trying to make do with the best he has. So now you can't do that anymore. And then not only that, you have a veteran in Jimmy Butler who holds people accountable. Everyone. You know, he does. He's a straight shooter. And, you know, if they lose a bad game, they mess up, he's going to come out and say, hey, we didn't bring it. And then he's also not going to, you know, he's a a powerful guy in regards to the league. See, there are certain players who are unsure of themselves. So what they do is they don't question people. But then you have certain players who are very sure of themselves. I'm not saying arrogant. I'm saying sure of themselves. Like, they know they're the man. They have a swag. Put it that way. They have a swag. Well, Butler has a swag. And guys who have a swag, they don't care what people think. Yeah, they're nice guys. They try to, you know, they're polite. But when it comes to being on the floor, no. They tell it like it is. And I'm not saying that they're going to have any conflicts. I think that he's going to be the guy. But what I am trying to tell you, he's going to be a completely different player than the other guys that Brett Brown coached. Now, you even look at, let's just say, J.J. Redick. You know, J.J. Redick came here. He was happy last year. He made $20-something million. He's making $12.25 million this year. You know, for the first time in his career, you know, he was getting the minutes that he wanted. He has a great role here. So he's happy. Well, Jimmy Butler's had a great role. Well, maybe not to the best role that he wanted to have, but we all know he's an all-star type player, and he's the focal point. He was a focal point in Chicago before he left. He was a focal point in Minnesota. So it's not like he's just coming here saying, oh, they're going to give me 30 minutes. I'm going to be the man. Nah, he expects to be that. And he expects people to play that way. And when you have guys like that, it's a different way of coaching them than when you're coaching young guys who basically do whatever a coach says because they just want to remain in this league or they want to stay, or guys who are happy because they have a good role. You know, so, you know, I'm not saying there's going to be any problems, but at the same time, you know, Brett Brown can't use the excuse of youth anymore. You know, that, you know, Brett Brown is going to be accountable for these losses. Like, if they lose, like right now, let's face it, the 76ers said they needed to go out there and get a third star. Like I said in the first segment, they said, we are going star hunting. Well, you have your third star. You have two guys who are going to be all-stars this year, and Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler. You have a third guy who hopes, and the Sixers hope, will be an all-star. Now, you know, and Ben Simmons. You know, I think it might be a little, I mean, I think he can get it done. If we, just to segue a little bit, I think Ben can make it, but it might be tough when you're looking at a team and people are saying and voting like, well, I don't know if the Sixers deserve three All-Stars. So that could affect Ben Simmons. Now, if Jimmy Butler wasn't on a team, I think people are like, oh, well, you know, Ben Simmons was a rookie of the year last year. He collects triple-doubles. He does this, he does that. He deserved to make it last year. He'll make it. But now it's like, do we really want to give the Sixers three All-Stars? So that's something that, you know, Ben may have to deal with this year. You know, there's one way of doing that. Ball out and make them make you accept you and make you an All-Star. But again, to get back on track, you know, when you have these three caliber players, you know, and they produce, you can't come with, I don't have the roster anymore, or the turnovers are youth. Or in the game, you have a lineup that people question, or a play doesn't work. It all comes down to the coach now. You know, you have to take the credit. I mean, you'll take some of the, well, I hate to take that back. He won't take the credit. Butler will take it. Embiid will take it. Ben Simmons will take it. I mean, or they will be given the credit. But he will take all the blame when they lose these close games. All right. So that's how it is. But, you know, in the third segment, like I said, we want to talk about if I mean, if Jimmy Butler will stay, and what the Sixers need to do to keep him. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Keith. I'm back for the final segment. You know, the thing is, I talked about was Jimmy Butler and the Sixers keeping him. I think they can. I do. I mean, now here's the deal. I think that both sides, in order for the Sixers to make this trade, both sides, meaning the Sixers, Jimmy Butler, and his representation have to come to agreement that this is a place that he would like to stay. Like if they felt like Jimmy Butler wasn't going to come back, if they had any inkling that he didn't want to come back or he didn't want to play with these guys, they wouldn't make this trade. If he was like, I don't know, I don't think they make this trade. I think that when you look at Jimmy Butler and most NBA players, or let's say 99% guys, they want to get paid. And the fact that if he opts out, the Sixers will have his bird rights, right? Sixers got his bird rights now. And they'll be able to offer him more money than anyone else, right? More, another additional year, more money. So a guy, you know, who's probably, he's going to be 30 next year. He wants to get paid. And not only does he want to get paid, let's face it. You got Ben Simmons. You have Joel Embiid. You know, you got a great team. I mean, you have the nucleus to win a title. So with that being said, I do believe that Jimmy Butler is going to come back, will come back. Now, again, the thing is, what if he gets here and the Sixers say, you know what, Jimmy? We just want you to stand in the corner the last 5 minutes of a game and let Joel Embiid go to work. Or you know what, Jimmy? We don't want you to be the leader of the team. Now, stuff like that will happen. Like, I don't think he's coming back, but I don't think it's going to happen. But this is Joel Embiid's team right now. This is Joel Embiid's team. But who do you think has the power right now over the organization? The reason why I pause, I want to let you think about it. Okay, I'll answer it for you. Jimmy Butler does. Jimmy Butler is in the power to get whatever he wants right now. The reason being is, the 76ers gave up assets to get him. They gave up Robert Covington, a first-team all-defensive guy. Now, Cove gets criticized, something got criticized a lot by people in Philadelphia. But people fail to realize that Covington was a solid role player. Was he a star? No. But he was a solid role player who just happened to be a first-team all-defensive player. They also gave up Dario Saric. Cuz, homie, whatever you want to call him. Dario was struggling a little bit, but I always think back to when Embiid went down. Whenever Embiid went down, how Dario, whenever he became the focal point, he always stepped up and produced. And also, you look at it now, he was getting a little bit better. He was playing better. Dario was a legit player in this league. He is. This just probably wasn't a good situation for him when you factor in, you know, he had to play next to Embiid and he had to do a lot of other things. But Dario is a great player, and a lot of people around the league respect him and his game. So you gave up those two guys. You threw in Jared Bayless, but you gave up those two guys. You gave them up for a guy who could possibly walk if you don't make him happy. You don't want that to happen. Because as much as people are praising you for making that deal, they're going to be criticizing you for letting Jimmy Walker go and saying, oh my gosh, look what the Sixers did. They got played. They don't want that to happen. So I think that Jimmy Butler's going to get what he wants. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to tell Embiid to sit in the corner, but I think that Jimmy Butler's going to get what he wants. They're going to roll out the red carpet. He's going to get the star treatment that he so desired in Minnesota. They're going to offer him the max. He's going to be marketed everywhere. I mean, this isn't going to be like Chicago. Like when he came to Chicago, he had to work and he became that guy. But when he first got there, he wasn't the bull. When he went to Minnesota, even though he was the guy busting everyone's tail in practice and he was the guy that elevated them to the playoffs, it wasn't his team. It was Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Well, this is Jimmy Butler's team, along with Joel Embiid, along with Ben Simmons. You know, you can argue that it's his and Embiid's, and then Simmons may take a little hit, a little bit. You can argue that. But I don't think so. I think it's the three, the big three. So look, the Sixers are going to do everything in their will to keep Jimmy Butler, to make Jimmy Butler happy. Why? Because he has the power. Hey, y'all. I want to thank y'all for listening. Have a great day. I'll have my be back tomorrow to break down the trade and have some reaction from Brett Brown on the trade. Peace. Oh, and break down the game. Forget about that. The Sixers play tonight against the Miami Heat. Have a great one.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.